and welcome to the pilot episode of Walnut Brocast. My name is Mark, and as for pretty much any foreseeable future of this podcast, I'll be getting together with Christopher. How are you, Christopher?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
Off the bat, doesn't that theme song make you miss TV theme songs? They don't have theme songs like this anymore. They don't have shows like this anymore, but they don't have theme songs like this anymore.
They couldn't make this show in a million years anymore. Of course, the show that we're talking about is Little House on the Prairie. The songs that we just played, there was one right before the theme song. It was actually written by a band from Norway called Project Brundlefly, and it's entitled Albert. We have their permission, and we thank them. We're going to use that as our title song moving forward. We're going to try to, finesse it into the show a little bit more gracefully than my DJ skills.
Ouch.
So maybe we should just kind of do a rundown as to what exactly this show hopes to achieve.
Well, right now, my kids are tearing through Little House on the Prairie.
Oh.
Not only the TV show, but the books. You know, my oldest daughter just, like, finished the entire series.
Really?
And hopefully we'll be able to have at least my wife, if not my oldest child, on the show in one of the near future shows, just to talk about how these early episodes mirrored the books and what mm-hmm. happens in the books. You'd be surprised at how much the series in this first season takes from the books.
Well, I read the books when I was younger. I don't remember the books.
But you read the books? Really?
Yeah, it wasn't very cool that I was reading the books. I read them, I'm thinking in third grade I read them. I know your daughter's in second grade, so mazel tov. I did read them. I don't know what made me read them, but I think I just picked it up and I started reading them, and I really liked the style of the writing at the time. And then I found out the TV show existed. So I think I read maybe two or three of the books.
And you watched the TV show religiously when you were growing up, right?
On WPIX, Channel 11 in New York, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, see, I was there when it first aired on NBC on Monday
nights.
Well,
it was still on the air. It was still on the air at this time.
Oh, really? Okay.
But they were running the reruns at this point already.
So I grew up with Half Pint and Mary and went through all of their trials and tribulations.
Well, you weren't watching it in 1974, were you?
I was, yes. My mother, this is how my parents parented. They placed us in front of the TV. And, you know, if there was no Monday night movie on, then we were watching Little House from 8 to 9, MASH from 9 to 9:30, whatever followed MASH after that, right. And probably Lou Grant at 10.
Lou Grant.
I'm serious.
So that's awesome.
We had our set programs, and Little House was one of them.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I don't know. I never watched I knew that it was still on the air, but I never watched it. It was just the repeats. And I remember watching them in order every day they would show that. So I would get like 5 episodes a week. And I was religious about it, though. I love that show.
I can't believe how long this show was on the air. I mean, I just don't remember it on that long, but it was on like, what, 12 years at least? 74? And it just kept going and kept going and kept going.
Yeah, it says it's from – it ended in 83.
Wow.
So 9 years? But I don't know. I mean, I think there were movies. It's a beloved series. I mean,
reunions. They had reunions.
And most of the – a lot of the cast is still around. You know, Michael Landon, of course, is not.
Who was it who posted on our sister podcast, VHS Rewind? We
actually
have a Facebook
page.
Isn't
that our mother podcast? It's like
it's a mother. Okay. that one of the minor, not minor, certainly in the first few seasons, Miss Beadle, the teacher, she has a new book coming out.
Yeah. Did you watch the video?
I did not. I did not.
You gotta watch this video.
I wanna watch it.
Alright, I mean, for one, she's like overwhelmed with the amount of people that are contacting her. When I threw the idea at you, or maybe you threw the idea at me, about doing this podcast in the beginning, it was kind of a strange thing because, you know, it's kind of a weird show. It's kind of a, what would you categorize the show as? Not just family friendly.
It's a family show, but it's horrifying. Right. Some of the things that happen on this show to these kids, to Half Pint, to Mary, scary, you know. I mean, you know, just by comparison, was the Waltons this bad? And that was during the Depression. But I don't remember like any episodes of the Waltons.
Now let me ask you: did Marcy watch Little House on the Prairie?
No, she's watching it now.
Okay, my wife never.
She was too young. She was born in 74.
Okay,
so she wouldn't have seen this. Certainly not on the initial go around.
Well, I'm a whole year older than her then. And, I didn't know about the show in the very beginning, of course. But let me just say is, for years I've been trying to get my wife to watch this, and she just wouldn't. I don't know why. And then all of a sudden, she's like, oh, I'll watch an episode. And I got her to watch this episode that we're going to review today, which is the pilot episode. And she's tearing up at the end. This is a great episode, for one, I just have to say.
Well, I think it's great, but it highlights some of the, you know, there are certain patterns that emerge from the show.
Tragedy. tragedy in every episode. Seriously, people are constantly dying, having houses burned down.
You know how they have that myth about Star Trek, where if you're just one of the red shirts, you get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same thing here on Little House. If you suddenly pop up right at the beginning of the episode as some townsfolk we've never seen before, chances are you're going to die.
Yeah. And I mean, and also, usually, if you don't die, we never see you again anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Mr. O'Neill in this episode. Who runs one of the main stores in the town, and we never see him again.
They ran him out of town.
Another thing that comes to light, as and we'll see this as we go through these episodes, if it's directed by Michael Landon, shit is going to happen. Okay, yeah. People are going to die. It's going to be a massacre. Something's going to happen.
When I was watching this episode again last night, one thing really struck me for the first time. And that's how hard of a worker Pa is.
Well, that's another thing. Like, this is directed by Michael Landon. I think this episode might have been written by Michael Landon. No, I get. All right, this one wasn't written by him. But Pa is such a do-gooder. He is in this town. It seems like he's new to this town.
And it's like he's new to this planet.
he comes down from some celestial plane. Because, you know, he's just a do-gooder and he's new to the town. And yet by the end of the episode, everybody's coming out to help him. And I'm like, this is not real life, people. This this does not happen in real life.
Oh,
so there is that, again, it's a family show from the 70s, for crying out loud. So, of course, it's going to project only the best values of humanity, but in the service of tragedy. But it's just like, you know, just the do-gooder mentality and the positive view of humanity that's on display in this episode runs throughout the entire series.
Well, you know what? With and this episode,
one of the things I didn't realize about the show is especially the first season, there's a lot of religion in the show. There's just a lot of – it gets more actually as this first season goes on. There's only a scene here where they talk about God and
Yeah, once Reverend Alden gets up there, things get really serious. And which is interesting because, you know, Michael Landon was Jewish.
He was?
Yeah, and so was Melissa Gilbert. And was she still?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Michael Landon was Jewish.
And I would have thought he's a Christian because between this and high.
I don't know if he was very religious, but I know if you did a blood test, you'd find that he was Jewish.
Wow.
But the thing is that with that tends to taper off, I find, in the later episodes.
It does. It does. No, it definitely does. But it's so heavy.
It's very heavy.
Initially, yeah. I was very surprised by that revisiting this first season.
So why don't we get into this episode? It's, you know, again, this is based off of, you know, actual, the actual memories of a real person, Laura Ingalls Wilder. But it's a very loose adaptation. This is not
right. And I'm wondering how much of this is real, how much, well, you know, just Mary her fevered imagination.
Well, I know in the books, Mary does go blind.
Yeah, no, a lot of they do take a lot from the books. I will give them that. It's pretty good.
And I don't know about if Jasper had really bitten Jack. do you want to throw out a favorite episode for the moment? You know what's funny is right now, I just have to say, before we started recording, we were talking a little Little House Shop, and that could be another name for the show, the Little House Shop of Horrors or something. Maybe something there. And you have not learned of the new character that's coming very soon named Nancy, which is pretty much a new Nelly, which is so funny. You get ready for the show to have a new breath of life to it. No, it is. It becomes like another comedic thing. It becomes
it's you know, this started out as Ma and Pa and Laura and Harry, and they all get older. They leave the nest, mm-hmm. and they just, you know, Ma and Pa, they're poor as dirt, and yet they keep bringing mouths to feed,
right
into the shack.
Too many mouths.
Yeah, I know. Holy from God. What I don't remember any of those like later episodes. I don't remember them taking on new kids. I just don't remember those kids at all. And I'm like, whoa, I remember Albert, but that's about it.
Well, like I said, I did throw a star at you. Jason Bateman, is one of the people who pops up, in a number of episodes. He becomes kind of a main character for a few episodes.
That's been one of the fun things about this is like noticing all these character actors. And, of course I forget his name, but, the kid who was in Married with Children, I forget what his name is.
Yeah, I know who you're
talking about. You know, I couldn't believe that was him.
I really couldn't believe that was him.
Some of these early episodes specifically the first season are directed by Leo Penn, who's the father of Sean Penn. Oh. And so if you look in the background, you see Sean Penn as a kid. You know, he's going to school with Half Pint and
really?
Mary.
Really? If you could point out some episodes moving forward.
He doesn't say anything.
Right.
But he gets prominent camera. You know, he's... You know, let's say Laura's talking in the foreground and Sean is just like right over her shoulder looking ready to beat her up.
You know, and I'm looking at the amount of people. I mean, you have an episode with Richard Mulligan, you know, people who you just would never expect. I mean, Willie Ames is in an episode.
Willie Ames? Oh, that's right. I think I did see that one.
Johnny Cash.
Saw that one, yeah.
It's almost like an Osmond show. You know, if it's a really a who's who of maybe not Hollywood. Yeah, I guess Hollywood.
70s TV land.
Yeah, I mean, just so many people were on the show, and that's what's really kind of cool about all of this.
Who's your favorite Ingalls? Is it Charles? Is it Ma? Is it Mary?
currently, well, you know, I just have to say I like Laura Ingalls when I was younger, and I still like her. I still think she's a great character. Mary always felt as though kind of
winky. She got the short shrift. Yeah, it's clear that Michael Landon favored Melissa Gilbert.
Yeah, I'd say so. and
can we talk about Carrie for a second?
Yeah, she never grows up.
This kid, if she never, it's exactly it. She never grows up. She says something in this episode. I don't know if you can play this clip.
Well, we don't know if it's Lindsay or Sydney Greenbush.
Right, there were twins. There were twins playing this one character, mm-hmm. and you couldn't tell who was who at any given episode. But they could not speak for their life. And
do you want me to play that clip?
Yeah, if you could just play this clip, and we're having a little contest. We're not going to give the context of this scene, but if anybody can decipher what Carrie says in this clip, there will be a no prize for you.
You win a wagon wheel.
Here you go. You win a plow.
Exactly.
He's on the run.
All right, fine.
Be all right. I want my
lessons. And she never gets better. She gets older.
She's four here. How old she is now? She's four here. Three or four.
So due now 7 years later, she's still talking the same way. It's like, Are you not homeschooling her, Ma, or what? She's just talking, you know, I don't want to use any bad words, but she's just talking like she's never learned the English language.
She's got a little bit of a dim bulb.
Carrie is just always been the most useless character on the show. You asked me what's my favorite episode. Right now, it's for laughs. It's the episode that's devoted to Carrie and her inner life, her inner dream life.
I don't remember that. What episode is that?
I forget what the name of it is, but she keeps falling asleep and she talks to her, I guess, her sister, who's like this mirror Carrie, and it's this most real thing you've ever seen. Yes, I did watch it while I was stoned. So it's just incredible. It's incredible. We might do that one soon because.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. That escaped me. I don't recall that.
I think we're going to do episodes out of order, right? So that way we can have more fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably. There's really no rules on Walnut Grove Cast. I was suggesting that we choose a couple episodes from every season moving forward, but we really don't have to.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But this initial episode.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, during the holidays and everything, of course, we'll fill them in. You know, for, like, Black History Month, we'll have the episode with the runaway slave. I'm just kidding, of course. No, but there are a lot of themes in this show that could just never be done now.
Well, let's think about that, really. I mean,
A runaway slave who's trying to sell himself? Oh, my God.
I was telling you about the episode with the Jews and when they come.
Come on.
It's true. Like, just the way they were talking, it's like, whoa, is this a Dean Martin celebrity roast or something?
Country girls. you know, there's a lot. Another thing is Nellie. Nellie is the queen, like, I guess, bitch when it comes to the worst person ever. My wife, like I said, she never watched these. And she's watching them now, and she just thinks, why doesn't the town get together and kill them? Because they would just be so much better off if, you know, if Mrs. Harriet Olson. And...
Yeah, get rid of...
And Nellie weren't around. It's just very funny the way it all happens. But, so in this episode, let's just say.
Let's just preface this by saying this is the first episode of the first season. There was, I think it was like a 2-hour pilot movie that was all about, and again, taken directly from the books, how the Ingalls are moving across the land looking for a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I saw that, I don't think I've ever seen that before, and I was expecting Walnut Grove and all these fun characters. That initial pilot movie is like, you think Little House on the Prairie, but you get The Revenant. It was so – every trial and tribulation that comes with moving your family across the land back then – they experience.
Really?
Complete with Redskins that show up as well. Those Indians show up.
So it was worthwhile. I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's a bit of a torture because it's humorless, it's gritty, and it's no fun like the series is. That's why I'm glad we're starting with this episode, because this really sets the show. We're introduced to the town right away. They weren't in the town in that pilot movie. They're moving across Kansas, I think it was.
Right.
And here we open in Walnut Grove, and we're introduced to the characters that we come to know, although the characterizations aren't there yet, and we'll get into that in a sec.
Right.
But it's good, like, we start with this one, because this is what I remember, and this is what I liked about the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so they're sitting, basically, the girls are sitting at some lake, basically just soaking their feet, I guess. And you see Charles and I think it's...
Mr. Hansen.
Yeah, Mr. Hansen. And they shake on a deal.
Because the pa is buying a house, or is buying land, actually.
100 acres.
And, which is a lot of land.
It's a lot of land. actually, we learn in the future it's really not that much land when it comes to it. I remember there was an episode where they go to Caroline's high school reunion or school reunion, and the guy's like, "Wow, I heard you only have 100 acres. Rah." And they have, like, you know, 12,000 acres or something. But he has 100 acres, and I don't think it's ever been used for farming. Do you get that impression?
Right, because he has to toil the land, or I forget
he's
what the word is.
He's got to break the land.
He's got to break it. And that's what gets him into all this trouble.
Yeah, because he goes right into town and says, "I need credit." But, you know, it was sweet when he says to them, "Well, we're going, you know, we're home." You know, and she's like, "Are we home?" And they were just, like, so happy that they finally have a place where they can be.
And Pa builds this house that, can I say...
Builds a house. it out loud. He built a house.
I like that house. I like where, you know, the girls are sleeping upstairs in a loft that has a window.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, Pa. I don't know. I don't know if you want to play that cue where Laura narrates Pa's day.
Yeah.
Just to get us into how hard, you know, Pa is just the Christ figure in this episode.
Now, this is also something that comes and goes. The narrations from Laura.
That was in the first maybe few episodes, disappears, and then seasons later comes back. Like, I'm in season seven.
When she's a lot older.
Yeah, I'm in season seven now, and they brought it back. But they didn't have it in, like, 3, 4, 5.
But I don't like it, personally. I don't like it in this, for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Gets in my way. I did like that about the Waltons and the way John Boy would narrate the episode a little bit, but I liked it here, especially, you know, when we get to the end.
I guess it was fitting. I don't know. For some reason, her voice bothers me until it gets a little bit older. Now, I'm going to play it, and I'm just looking at the video. I'm playing it right from the video, that I'm just amazed that this show was even made. Because it's not really a set. You know, like, they built a town with animals, and it's like there's livestock, and there's, you know, it's really a remarkable. This would be so expensive to do now.
We got to research this, but you don't think this was in the Hollywood Hills right behind where the MASH set was?
I hope not. I'm not really sure. I'm going to do a quick search as this is playing, but here we go.
Thank you. Creek at daybreak, worked all day in Hanson's mill, earning lumber he needed to build us a house. Pet and Patty, our team horses, weren't big enough to pull the plow Pa needed to break the prairie sod. Though we were sorry to see them go, Pa swapped them to Mr. Hanson for a span of oxen. Strong enough, Pa said, to pull the state of Iowa 10 miles into Minnesota, if he could find a place to hitch them to. Pa came home at sunset, and then he worked by lantern light. Ma said he ate his supper while he was working, and almost it was true. Because it happened mostly in the dark, our house grew like the mushrooms we found in the woods. It was kind of like we were all holding our breath. And then one day our new house was there, all done. And it was moving in day.
And
now, you are a family man. You have a wife and a child. Doesn't listening to all that Pa does make you feel inadequate?
Yes.
As a family man, I'm like, Jesus, I go to work 8 hours a day, but I come home and I just ignore my children. And I don't do anything around the house.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I tried to fix my deck. I think I told you about this. And I ended up spraining my ankle. And I had to sit in front of HBO Go for 2 days. Like, Charles is a man's man. He built a friggin' house. And it seems like he built the house in a matter of weeks, maybe.
I know. I was, like, working all this, the job to pay off the lumber, and then I'm just like, wow, how does he – I am a bad father. I'm a bad husband.
Right. He's in great shape. He's got a head of hair.
As I look at my walls that need painting, but I won't do.
I won't even bring my room. You wonder how lazy I am. I'm upstairs. My office kind of area, it needs to be vacuumed up here, right? It's just me up here, but there's dust and everything. I won't even pick up my Roomba, my robot that vacuums for me. I won't even bring it up the stairs and put it down and push the button in the middle and let it run around for 20 minutes. Vacuuming. That's how lazy I am.
We should all model ourselves on Charles Ingalls.
Oh, Pa. And, I almost feel like when I watched this as a kid that I was learning moral lessons. Like, I really felt that way.
We, especially at the end of this episode. Are you kidding me?
I'm at tears in every single time I watch this episode. I'm like, yeah. When the both girls get up and start pulling that sack. You kidding me? Somebody help them, and then you see the men, and it's awesome.
So they're new to town and they're getting settled, and like you said, Pa goes to town trying to shyster everybody out of something. So we're introduced to Mr. and Mrs. Olson.
But I think, what was your take on that particular discussion? Do you have that clip?
Yes.
Okay.
What is that? Cue number five. And Mrs. Olson isn't the clown she becomes soon after. In fact, she's actually right. I have to agree with you. I don't know why Pa can walk anywhere he thinks, anywhere he wants to go, and think, oh, I'll just ask this person to give it to me in advance of something later.
And when he walks out, I think he's being obnoxious.
Yeah.
I understand.
Even Mr. Olson is like, I agree with my wife for a change.
He goes, it's true. We need money in order to buy more stuff to give to other people who, I don't know, have money. Air quotes. So here's that clip.
Good morning.
Mr. Olson, how you doing?
Mrs., this is the fellow I told you about I ran into over at Hanson's Mill.
Ma'am?
Oh, what can I do for you?
Well, I'd like a plow and wheat seed, enough for 100 acres.
I understand you're building a house out there.
Got it all finished yesterday. Start breaking sod as soon as I get that plow. I don't have any money right now. I'd like to pledge a share of my first crop.
We do give credit to a few farmers that we've known for a long time, but Only to a few.
There is a reason. You see, we need the money to buy the things we need to keep in business.
I understand. Cash on a barrel, and it's the way I like to deal and will, just as soon as I get that first crop to sell.
Mr. Ingalls, do you know how many families move out here and plant their crops and run up more bills than they can hope to pay for and then skip out in the dead of night? Now, I could show you a whole drawer full.
Mrs. Olson, I can assure you I had no intention of running out in the middle of the night. Thank you.
Mr. Ingalls, there's really no way that I
understand.
Slam! Break the window.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think he could have just said, I understand. And walked out all somber.
I don't know what got into me, thinking that I could take hundreds of dollars worth of...
Well, yeah, it's like... Well, he would need a plow, right?
Yes, and who has a plow but Mr. O'Neill across the street, who runs the seed company?
The Irish guy.
The worst Irish accent.
What are you saying, my wee lad?
You've been burned once before. You fear the fire.
He even has the stereotypical 1800s Irish guy hat. Like with like the like kind of roundish rim.
It's like, yeah, it's like a bowler hat, like Charlie Chaplin exactly. Wore or something. So here is the deal that Pa strikes, and you tell me if Pa should have done this.
You know what it is? Well, yeah, all right, let's listen.
Looking at my fine plows,
Yeah.
Would you be needing one?
Sure could. Name's Ingalls.
I think I'm O'Neill, pleased to know you.
Yeah, I need a plow and seed, enough for 100 acres.
Well, you've come to the right man. I sell only the best.
I don't have any cash.
And I'll thank you for not wasting my time.
Yeah, I got something you need more than money.
Let me know. Well, what is it that I could need or use more than money?
Know-how. Enough to put a new roof on that shed.
It'd have been built proper. It never caved in. I bought this business for cash, and I'd no sooner turn the money over than the last snows of winter came and they crashed in the roof.
And I'll build you a roof that'll support under any snow.
For a plow and seed.
That's right.
And who'll be supplying the material?
Well, you will.
Well, in that case, my lad, I'll be needing a bit more on my side to make the bargain even. I'm freighting in some sacks of grain from Mankato. You'd be stacking those in the shed, and neatly, too.
Consider it done.
Satisfy me on one thing more, and we can shake hands on it. I see you working at Hanson's every day. How are you going to get loose to work for me?
Already arranged for that. Work for you in the morning, work for Hanson in the afternoon.
You're biting off a big piece. And I'll be after wanting this done in 3 weeks.
It'll be done.
Well, saying's one thing, but doing's another.
You got my word on it.
But if something goes wrong now, your word is not going to keep the rain out of my shed. I'm thinking I'll be needing a bit of collateral.
Like what?
I see you driving a fair yoke of oxen. Now, just keep it businesslike. You sign a chattel mortgage, leaving the animals to me in case you don't do the work as promised. Now, no offense, Ingalls. No offense meant at all. Just that being burned once, you fear the fire. I was a believing man once until a shed sworn to be sound fell down.
I build a roof and stack the grain.
In 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
My hand on it. I hope we'll be keeping your promise.
All right. So, you know what? I think it was... for him, yeah, I think it was a fair... I think he should have done it, yeah. He didn't have a choice. But you know what else? All right. Now, if you need to replace a roof... How much does that really cost? Like, and it's only part of the roof. So, to today's money, what, $800 or something?
Well, he's not paying for the materials.
Right, that's true. So, it's really just labor.
Right, that he's got, right.
Not really sure how that all...
And then he's got to stack the grain... Which we see keeps getting delivered, and Pa just walks right over it.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I was like, "What, dude? Why don't you like start moving some of those?
Just one of them, one a day."
I know the shed isn't finished yet, but still, leaving it outside is, I hope it doesn't rain.
I kept thinking that. Like, he does. He just steps right over and it's like, yeah, so he explains it to Caroline.
And let's play this clip because this explains just how hard Pa works for his family while you and I are just upstairs ignoring doing our nothing. Family, doing podcasting.
Getting mad that the microwave doesn't work faster. I need my Hot Pocket. By the way, wait. You know the coffee mug that he has, like that blue... And they have the coffee maker.
Yep.
And I really want one of those. Man, I have a coffee mug that looks like that. But it just looks like... It's just, you know... thing, but I think that's
metal?
Like no, it's not metal. It's like a regular coffee mug that just looks that way. But I don't know why, but the food on Little House on the Prairie always looks really good. And having a nice big fireplace like that—that's pretty awesome.
Nothing to worry about. My house is all finished except for a cupboard and a few shelves.
Let's not hurry about those.
All right, so I work at O'Neill's for 6 hours. I work 6 hours at Hanson's. That's 12 hours. That gives me plenty of time for the plowing and the rest of the chores.
With going and coming and eating your lunch, it's more like 15 hours. Farm work on top of that, you won't have any time to rest.
It's only for 3 weeks.
It's a long time to walk in your sleep.
I can do it.
I believe you can.
You have to. What do you think of Karen Gressel, who plays Caroline Ingalls, or Ma?
In these early episodes, she's hot. I don't know why. You know, she's dressed up, you know, corseted up like the religious chick, the religious frontier chick that she is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, oh, yes, I would do
her. Yeah, somehow she shows her shape. You know what I mean? Like, this, somehow, like, she knows how to wear a big old whatever.
A really shapeless dress.
A big schmata, or whatever you call that thing.
Plus the bonnet. Yeah, the bonnet over her head.
I like the bonnet. The bonnet. We should bring back the bonnet.
You know when she doesn't look good is when she lets her hair down. She doesn't look quite as good when she lets her hair down, but when she's got it all tied up and we see her face, which is kind of pretty, she's a MILF.
You know,
I'd do that.
Well, actually, Karen Gressel never had children.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think she just adopted children. Not just, you know, but she never had any actually biological children.
And she didn't have much of a career after this.
She didn't after need this, one.
No, it's true.
And remember that 1970s photo of her?
We have to I'm going to post that in our Little House Facebook page. Because
which is coming.
It's just... she's smoking.
Hot.
And
she looks like she should be on
Charlie's
Three's
Angels.
Company. You see Charlie's Angels, I see Three's Company. I don't know.
I mean, with the t-shirt and the things showing, I was like, wow.
Yeah, like she's braless, you know, she's, you know, a free chick.
And I like in this episode, we see that she's this religious, God-fearing woman, but she also, you know, she holds her own next to Charles, so...
Oh, yeah, she goes crazy when she yells at him.
And, yeah.
what do you want to go for next? The
So, you know, Charles is working hard, and there's one Sunday in this three-week period when he's got to get all this done, when he falls asleep due to being so tired, and he doesn't go to church.
Well, we're skipping the Doc thing.
Oh, you wanna play the Doc Hanson shtick?
Maybe we can just talk about him. Maybe.
Yeah, let's talk about Doc and Hanson. These are also recurring characters.
Doc Baker. Doc Baker is a total recurring character throughout the entire series, and you know he actually was in a lot of really memorable episodes, like when Albert becomes addicted to morphine. And did you see that episode yet?
Not yet. No, I cannot wait for that.
Did you know about that? Or
I knew about that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I didn't mean to like. I thought for whatever reason I thought you were much further along,
folks. This series is how many years old? 50? Oh shit! 70, 80, 90?
No, 40. Yeah, like
40 years old.
Yeah.
Wow, I just aged myself. And, you know, so don't tell me about spoilers, okay?
Yeah, exactly. but you have to finish
yes,
the show.
I'm looking for that episode.
So, yeah, he basically, I think he's a really cool, level-headed character. He always is the voice of reason. And Charles sees him and his wheel had
and helps
gotten
him.
Broken somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Some metal thing came off of it, and Charles just immediately says, "Oh, hey, well, I'll help you." And yeah, so in this scene, Doc is actually giving him an extra thanks for helping him with the wheel.
Yeah.
And what nationality do you think Hansen is? I can't place that accent. But let's listen and then
German
we'll
or Swedish? I'm
Swedish maybe. Yeah.
I'm sorry, just lost my spot. Give me another sec.
This is unusual in that the shtick that Doc and Hansen have, it's never replicated again in any future episode.
Yeah, you're right. Like they're never best friends again.
Yeah, they never speak again to each other. Except
what?
Except for the episode where Hansen dies.
Really? I don't remember that episode.
What?
Maybe I do. I mean, I have to see. Once I see these episodes, they come back to me.
Ingalls! Hey, Doc. You know, it's only by the grace of God a country doctor doesn't cackle when he talks. You'll never guess how many times my patients pay their bills with chickens.
I couldn't begin to guess.
Of course, it could be I'm perpetuating the system. I've started more flocks than I can remember. I hope you can use these. Now, come on, it's just a little added thanks for your help this morning.
Look, Doc, it's not that we can't use them, but...
Go ahead and take them, Ingalls. Make the old man happy. You know, he wouldn't dare keep those chickens because they would die on him. And then folks would know he's a fraud.
Fraud? Are you old Billy Goat? You can't even blow a whistle on time. He's 3 minutes late.
Nay, do. You are 3 minutes early. It's that sheep watch of his.
Cheap, is it? Ingalls, I'll have you know this is a very expensive chronometer given to me when I graduated from medical school.
Oh, well, if it's that old, it's an hourglass. When he graduated, they didn't have watches.
You and your watch are both older than I am. You.
And this
is it should be said, Pa is loving that shtick. He's just smiling like, he's like, I like these people. I like these people.
And it's like, if that was me, I'd be like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. but you know, it's weird. He always has a smile on his face. He's always eating something that looks interesting. I don't know. I'm amazed by the show. I'm amazed that the show still holds up in a certain charming way.
It does. Yeah, it does. And it is. And it's all due to Michael Landon. He was like the driving force in this. He wrote episodes, a lot of episodes. He directed a lot of episodes.
Yeah. Highway to Heaven with Victor French.
We'll do that series at some point.
Well, I think we only have about another 205 episodes to go after this episode.
Ouch.
So, all right, let's see. Pa.
So Pa's working really hard, and he skips school. He skips
church.
Church, and the reverend suddenly like goes apeshit because people aren't showing up.
Right,
and the reason I wanted to play this clip is because this is so out of character from what we know, you know, from what we know the reverend to be in future episodes. He becomes less fire and brimstone and more like an old softy.
But you know, there are moments like this where I remember when I was younger anyway, these quiet moments would get so quiet. And like when they're in bed just talking and everything, you're like, I can't hear a word they're saying. I remember turning it up really loud when I was a kid, and you get all that background noise, like you know, and I just always felt as though the show was poorly audio the audio has always been poorly recorded in my eyes.
You know, I'm watching, you know, I get these discs from the libraries.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a problem with the disc or something because we're always constantly turning it up. Like you say, all the volume on the TV all the way up, but just, you know, to hear some of the dialogue, and then the music starts and that's too loud, so we got to turn it down.
Then, and then the opening theme song does change volume.
It does.
So I don't know what is up with that. You know, there is a new Blu-ray release.
There's a Blu-ray? I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm going to look for it as we play this clip. Wait, so Carolyn is walking up to Charles.
Yeah, I think you skipped the
Right. I'm sorry about that. I like it when she goes, Charles Ingalls! All right, here is Reverend Alden. And in the background is a cross. Like, the shot is, like, very, like, Pentecostal or... I don't really know what religion.
As I look out on our congregation, I must say I'm distressed. I see many familiar faces, but I also see the absence of many others. I see many wives here without their husbands. I'm sure if they had lost a loved one during the week, I'd have heard about it.
That's cold.
Now we're all of us sinners. Some to a lesser degree than others, but nonetheless sinners. It is only by going to church and asking the Lord's forgiveness that we may be cleansed of our sins. Think upon that as we sing our closing hymn. Come, sinner, come.
You want to hear that?
No, because it goes on for a long time.
Come, sinner, come. That's pretty much the lyrics, right?
But I'm like, why is the Reverend going on about this? I mean, what, is there no extenuating circumstances he can think of where...
Right, was it maybe his chicken that was given away? I always thought maybe, like, there was a scene that was cut out. I'm not really sure. Yeah, but, all right, so this is the aftermath. This is after Carolyn has just now been shamed.
So, yeah, so exactly. That's what the Reverend was doing. And yeah. So Carolyn comes home to find Pa working the fields because he's working hard for his family.
And his response is awesome, I think. Here we go.
Your bag already, huh?
Earlier than expected, obviously.
What are you talking about?
You couldn't stay awake to go to church, and here you are working.
Oh, Carolyn, I woke up and you were gone. I just couldn't sit around the house doing nothing.
Charles, the Lord's Day is set aside for worship and for rest.
Carolyn, I got a field to plow. Now, God isn't going to plow it for me.
That is sacrilegious.
Well, to you, maybe, but not to God. He understands farmers. Ah!
Bing!
That music.
I love the music. The music gets better towards the end, too.
It's awesome.
And of course, you know, Pa and Caroline make up afterwards.
Yeah, because she's in bed reading the Bible.
And she says, I'm sorry. She's the one who says, I'm sorry. I'm like, this is where I'm like thinking, Pa's got too much of a grip on her, I think.
she seems kind of bored.
here's my favorite scene. So now Pa has finished the roof.
Sorry.
He's finished the roof for O'Neill. Hasn't stacked all the bags yet. This is where he like walks right over them for some reason. And he comes home and he's ordering Caroline to get his dinner. Listen to how many times he says first of all, he walks in the door and he says, hey, baby, I'm home. And he starts grabbing and groping her.
Yeah, like.
And then he's like, Pa, get my dinner, bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like all happy to go home and boss her around.
And it turns out he's been a dick. You know, he's been grumpy.
Yeah.
Because he's working hard. Just like you know, me, because I work my one job for 8 hours and I come home and I'm grumpy to my kids.
Right, or when I sprain my ankle.
Right, and I'm not working the fields or anything. So now he's just happy, and I don't know, he's like just a dick.
Here we go.
Carolyn!
What is it?
I am home, that's what it is.
And I'm starving. Want me to get my supper while I wash up?
I'm singing.
You're really feeling good.
Oh, it's a fine day. Where are the girls?
In bed.
In bed? The sun's hardly down. A little early to be putting them into bed, isn't it?
Oh, well, it just seemed easier and quieter if they weren't underfoot. Get your supper.
Have I been that bad? I do remember telling them to be quiet a couple of times.
Couple.
A few.
Four.
I'm sorry. Why don't you get my supper and I'll be down.
I'm home.
Get my supper.
Don't forget my supper.
Like what? It's like she was waiting for him. She was waiting when he walked in the door. She's like waiting for him to beat her.
Like,
he's like,
what is it?
What is it? What did I do?
Kids are asleep. That's sad. No, not Pa. Oh,
but he's such a nice guy. And he realizes his faults.
So he goes up to the loft and he tells a bedtime story. So I'm going to play that. Should I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we weren't quite asleep, Pa.
Oh, that's good. I thought I might tell you a story.
Oh, please, Pa.
All right, let me see. Oh, yeah, I've got one about a grumpy farmer. See, this grumpy farmer used to get up every morning before sunrise and stomp off to work. Sometimes he'd even forget to say goodbye to his wife and his three pretty little girls. And every night when it got dark, his wife would put his three pretty girls to bed real early, so he wouldn't grump at them when he got home. That made the whole family feel kind of sad, because they could remember when he used to have time for his wife and time to play games with his three pretty little girls. Even take them to church. So one day that farmer looked around and said to himself, "Farmer, you're a grump." And he finished all of his work, almost all of it. He came home, and he told his pretty wife and his three pretty girls that tomorrow he was going to take them on the biggest, bestest all-day picnic of all time.
Oh, thank you, Pa.
All right, now fast forward. Now,
notice in that scene, the unloved third child isn't there.
Yeah, she sleeps downstairs. The thing that's weird is if something is going really wonderfully in the universe of Little House on the Prairie, the next thing to happen is usually tragedy.
Yep.
So let's fast forward to,
I don't have any clip of what happens, but basically Pa takes everybody out for a picnic, and Pa doesn't let anyone else fly the kite. He flies it. he's the only one. He's like, look at me. I'm the greatest. And he crashes it into a tree. So Pa's like,
it's like
I'm going to go get it.
It's like a 50-foot tree.
Did you see that tree? It's like he is up. He's climbing like a monkey all the way up this huge tree, only to fall off because he's a putz.
So here's him falling off. It's just to give you the idea of the how dramatic the scene is.
Oh.
He's climbing. And this is, you know, he's really climbing a tree, which is kind of... He's up there. Oh.
Tom!
By the way, when they go to run and check on Charles, who do they leave behind?
Yes, Carrie. Exactly.
Carrie can watch, play with the ants. Now, we were talking about how far... They're at Plum Creek right now, which is where they live. How far do you think Plum Creek is to town? To
I didn't even know they lived in an area called Plum Creek. I mean, it's good that I heard them say that this episode. But I have no idea where... You know, they have to get to school every day.
I'm going to guess it's about 2 or 3 miles.
You think it's that far?
Yeah.
And so... Caroline sends half, not even Mary. Oh, yeah. Mary stands there.
Let's listen
like
to
frozen.
Her. Yeah, give the tomboy a reason to run.
No.
Oh.
Don't move.
Laura, run get Mr. Hansen. Tell him Paul needs Dr. Baker and a wagon. Hurry!
Now, why would she say go get Mr. Hansen?
I don't know, to
get him to get Doc Baker.
Maybe he knows where. I don't know. I don't know.
So next thing you know, we find out that it's 4 broken ribs. That
And we get one of the most recurring images in the Little House history, which is a shirtless Pa. He first of all, can I just say, like, he's got some pecs.
Yeah.
He's a really well-built guy.
Yeah, he is. He was. And
Very tan.
Yeah, well, it was California. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he was a farmer.
I guess. But still, he does not waste any opportunity in this series to take his shirt off.
No, he's like Hasselhoff or yeah. Matt McConaughey or whatever. But, all right, here we go. This is the next scene. So the time has come where he's not going to be able to stack the grain. He's built the
roof. Right, because he broke his ribs. He's laid up. He has to watch HBO.
If he had skipped the picnic and just stacked the grain and came back
for the... Right, exactly. Just finish the work first.
And so what is it? Mr. O'Neill.
O'Neill.
Comes to take the oxen and the plow.
Yep.
And here's that scene. The music.
Mrs. Engels.
Yes.
I'm Liam O'Neill. Your husband contracted to do some work for him.
Yes, how are you?
Troubled, ma'am. Your husband left a sight of work undone.
He was hurt. Dr. Baker told him to stay in bed.
Yes, I'm sorry that I am to hear that, but that has nothing to do with the matter at hand. A chattel mortgage, ma'am. Your husband signed it. Guaranteeing that the work would be done on time, or the yoke oxen would forfeit to me. Well, the work wasn't done, and that's the plain and simple fact.
I know, Mr. O'Neill. But Mr. Hansen was supposed to tell you my husband was hurt.
Well, hurt has nothing to do with the matter. Your husband failed to do as he promised, and now the oxen are mine, so I've come to pick them up.
Please don't do this.
I know how you feel. Truly, I do. But if your husband was in my position, he'd do exactly the same thing.
It's true.
I'm sorry. Sullivan!
And they take away
her. Take it away!
Take away.
So Pa hears this. Caroline's like, there's nothing I could have done.
So, he goes into town.
And so Pa's walking, like, with his hand across his chest here because his ribs are broken. And the music would – let's play this music clip because it suggests Pa has got a gun and he's going to go shoot it out.
There we go. If you look at the silhouette of him walking, it looks like in a Western when one guy gets shot in the in one arm or something. So here we go.
It's all right with you. I'll give you some chickens in payment for this shoeing charge.
I've got more chickens now than I can use. Half my customers been paying me with chickens.
I never thought of that. Well, look who's here.
Ingalls. I thought you said he was going to be in bed for a while.
Use the sword, Pa. Use the sword.
Exactly. I'm also going to play the dialogue of when they're going back and forth when Pa says, "So you stole them!"
Well, Ingalls, you're looking poorly, lad.
I didn't come here to talk about my health.
'Twas only a politeness.
I want to see the mortgage.
You did when you signed it, lad.
And I'll see it again now.
Ah, tis the date you're wondering about. The contract expires tonight.
And the oxen are still mine?
Well, for a few wee hours more, till midnight. I was out your way on another matter. I knew that you wouldn't be able to keep your promise here.
So you stole the oxen?
No, lad. I was just doing you a favor. Saving your trip into town.
You want to do me a favor, you give me a couple more days.
Sorry as I am, by the look of you, it'd take a lot more than that. Besides, when a bargain is struck and a paper signed, all parties have to abide by it.
Well, I intend to. I got till midnight to keep my end of the bargain. I got a lot of stacking to do. I best get at it.
Shouldn't have made the deal. Shouldn't have made the deal.
And so Pa, the Christ figure, goes and starts to stack with one hand, ribs broken.
These are like 80-pound sacks of grain, maybe, right?
Which I couldn't lift. What am I talking about? Even on my best day.
I'm sure you could help pick it. You know, help him out if you saw this going on.
And so the rest of the town folk who, you know, we haven't seen Pa interact with, but somehow Pa is like, well, a Christ-like figure for this town, and they all come to help him.
Yeah.
And Pa gets his way. Everything turns out.
Pa stacks two bags, though. He gets it to the top, and then he tumbles. And you can almost feel like, oh, that had to hurt so bad. So his two daughters come running over.
And they start helping.
Oh, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe six guys show up. You get Nels, you get everyone. And they just basically stack the grain. It would have taken an hour and a half to do this before the picnic. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. So he brought it upon himself. Now, but it all turns out well in the end.
And there's a cringeworthy, you know, there's a lot.
Here's
of
the moral. Here's the moral of the story.
But it's so cringeworthy, don't you think?
It's too obvious. It's underlining something that, you know, we get it.
Yeah, so here it is.
Homecoming ever.
Whoops. Hold on, I'm trying. I have to cue it exactly. Sorry. There we go.
That was our happiest homecoming ever. Pa said he was glad we'd come to live on the banks of Plum Creek. Because here, he'd harvested a crop he didn't know he'd planted. A harvest of friends.
And then at the end, it's always... Dun, 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 dun. It's like the disco... Not disco, but like kind of...
It's really peppy. Version. It's really peppy. And that's what's like off kilter when you get like the rape episode, or you get the blind episode, the fire episode, and you hear this music at the end.
But, you know, I think this was a good first episode. You know, we have a lot in store for Walnut Grove Cast. We have a lot of episodes that we're going to be covering. We'll be covering all of your favorites. And the next episode, we will also have our Facebook address where you can find us. But you can also find us at VHSRewind.com, which is our other website. It's also our other podcast where we review, I guess,
everything. Movies, TV.
Yeah. But more offbeat type of stuff. What are we reviewing this summer on VHS Rewind? What is our...
It's the summer of Deason.
Yes, Eddie
the
Deason.
The films of Eddie Deason.
Was Eddie Deason ever in an episode of...
Would that not have been great? He was in Facts of Life, but not in Little House.
But Mrs. Beetle... Not Mrs. Beetle. Mrs. Which
Lucy... One? Lucy Lee Flippin.
Or yeah, she was in an episode with him. Not an episode, but a movie with him.
Yes, she was in Surf 2 with Eddie Deason. So it's 6 degrees of Walnut Grove.
You know, and she was in a lot of things, actually. She really floated around and got around. So to speak. But, all right, well, Christopher, thank you very much for getting together for this podcast. I look forward to many, many more episodes.
Yes, I'm looking forward to these as well.
All right, man, so we'll catch you next time.